munching away there on the old chocolate and licorice.
Yep, got a good combo of dark chocolate, black licorice, and smoky tea.
Whoa. Do we have a hello today, or are we just on a...
Hi, hi.
There you go.
I took note of that one when you said it the other day.
Good old Danes. So it's...
The day of the day.
We met today. Not today. We met today 3 years ago.
3 years ago or 4 years ago?
2021.
3 years ago.
I had a panic then. Did I get it wrong? But no. We met.
I honestly didn't know.
So yeah, we met today over stinging nettles.
We did.
Not many people can say they met over stinging nettles.
That's how it all began.
So yeah, there you go. The day of the day, not the day before the day.
Nope, it's the day of the day.
I think in my card I said the day before the day, because I thought it was tomorrow, because we're doing something tomorrow. I got confused.
Well, at least...
And then when I wrote the date, I was like, no, it's not, it's today. Anyway, so we have early starts at the minute, don't we?
And
it's
we do.
All a bit of a muddle.
I was going to say, at least you didn't get your little treat gift all in a knot.
It would have been very difficult to get a spade in a knot.
I got a new shovel. What did you get?
I got an excellent wind chime puzzle.
What is it made of? It's not a puzzle, it's an actual wind chime.
It's made of black walnut shells.
It is.
Varnished or lacquered or...
Yep.
It's an excellent wind chime. There is a puzzle element as I need to untangle it, so...
Precisely.
And it probably shouldn't go in the wind too much.
Yep.
But
Didn't quite nail that one.
Sure, we'll figure it out. I'm sure it'll be fine. Once it's unraveled, then we'll be fine.
Can't go wrong with a little wild edible arts and crafts until they do go wrong, that is.
Well, the walnuts are excellent.
I know, they make a nice clinky clank.
Well,
noise.
I meant the actual goods that were inside them.
Oh, that part was also good.
And now you're reusing the shells, which is excellent.
Yep.
It looks good. I might use it as a thumbnail, but it won't look great as a thumbnail.
Not until you untangle it.
There is that as well. So here we are again, just for a change. And we got a few things to get through, I believe, but I think you had some questions for me.
Yes. Well, I thought today we might talk about navigation.
Following the sun, that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of questions around navigating, where to find trails, how to find trails, where do you start, what do you do once you're out there, how do you make the little spinny arrow thing.
On trail folks, are they legal or illegal?
There's lots that I thought might be of use to someone else. So, here we are.
So...
Oh, and just to say that we definitely do not always get it right.
No, we don't. For sure. I suppose... To start with, my mountain biking experience is started before mobile phones. So Trail Forks was not even a thing.
Right.
And growing up in England in a mountaineering family, you learned pretty quickly to read a OS map, as we call them, Ordnance Survey. So the whole of the United Kingdom is mapped by, or was mapped by, Ordnance Survey, which was military and then became like a domestic service. And that is... in-depth, complex maps with height, rivers, telephones, pubs, churches, everything. So very detailed maps. And I think the general used to be 1 inch to the mile. Then the general one, I think, was 1.25 inches to the mile. But then you got 2.25 inches to the mile. So if you're in the mountains, 2.25 inch square would be a mile. With contour lines, rock faces, crags, forests, everything. And they changed, and you're supposed to buy a new one or, you know.
Whoa.
So, and then mountain biking in England was always fire roads and bridle paths or private, you know, wooded areas that had racing tracks or something. So that's where I started, which means you spend most of your time riding illegal footpaths because nobody wants to ride where horses have been because it's too bumpy, and getting on or not with the local landowners. And we did all right. We got on with the local farmers pretty well, so we could always ride cool places on private land and never really get into too much conflict.
Still true to this day.
True.
Get friends with the
landowners.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're above the height of the stone walls in the mountains, then it's open land anyway, although it can be boggy, so you need to be careful where you're going there. So that was kind of my start. And then I've obviously been to a lot of new places, like Ireland was a good start, and the Mourne Mountains for me. And you have to then go to the local bike shops, speak to the local people, see anybody out riding. Don't ask hikers or horse riders. You generally ask other mountain bikers, and then they'll kind of give you the odd tip. And then, I guess, in time, Trail Forks evolved. So in Canada, in general, most of the mountain biking areas are on Trail Forks. In England, a lot of the areas are on Trail Forks, but not all of them. So you have pockets of England where there's private or illegal trails or secret trails where the local trail guys or riders will build trails in the woods and not tell anybody, and then you kind of stumble across them, and then you have to work on them in order to ride on them. So it, you know, you might have one trail on Trail Forks, and then when you actually get there, there's a whole maze of trails. And I mean, that is similar here, but a lot less so than in England. So on here, what I tend to do is, depending on what I'm looking for and what we're up to, so I generally will look for places where there are blue as a minimum, green and blue if possible, and if I'm going on my own, green, blue and black generally, blue being kind of intermediate. And I will then also look for where the trails are in relation to urban areas. So you've listened to this for long enough to know that I'm not keen on people and or not keen on the masses. So I would generally try and find trail systems where you're a bit further away from big housing estates or
town
main roads. But then there are a few contradictions. So Queenston, which we've talked about, is flanked by roads on both sides. It overlooks Niagara Falls, and as in the town, but it's one of the most quiet and least traveled from a mountain bike point of view places that we go to. I mean, it may change in the summer, but certainly so far,
so true,
even on a Sunday afternoon, it's like there's people, but it's not packed and rammed. It's not like a lot of places. So,
you know, it's funny, it's almost in my experience there, I haven't been as many times as you, but a few now for sure, and it's almost it's kind of folks that are our speed are on the same page as us, because I seem to have seen more traffic and more humans when it's raining than on a sunny day.
Yeah, I think that's true. So I will look for where it is, what trails are there, and then I'll sometimes look for other information. So if it's a conservation area or if it's part of another organisation, so say it's a trail association on Trail Forks, I'll look into the trail association, look at the Trail Association or Mountain Bike Club's website, because then there's often images. I'm not a Facebook user, but if you use Facebook, there's often a lot of club information on there, or Instagram will often have images. Failing all of that, you can look at things like, if it's a ski hill, you can look at the ski hill information, because that'll, you generally find cross-country ski trails then translate to summer mountain bike trails. So it's quite often worse just looking at that information. And then on top of all of that, you'll turn up somewhere else where it's clearly waymarked. Every trail's labelled. There's direction arrows everywhere, which is, you know, for us in Ontario is unusual, right? We're normally stopping and trying to figure out where to go the first time we go. And we'll talk about the navigation thing in a minute, the actual navigation. But one of the things I've often done as well is I'll sometimes go somewhere on my own and then, like Queenstown, or Queenston, not Queenstown, it's New Zealand, but Queenston, and then I rode it on my own, and then the trails that I thought you would be on, get on with, the blue ones, because you're still recovering from your injury, I probably rode those blue trails maybe two or three times, so for me, if I ride something two or three times, I tend to then remember it, or start to remember it, which means I then know where all the weird things are, so then I can point out the weird things, and I don't have to keep stopping and looking at trail forks if they're not waymarked. So I would advise that is, if you go somewhere new, particularly if you're going to keep going, then ride the same trail a few times because you'll start to learn it. And you'd be surprised how quickly you can kind of pick something up in there. So that's that. Then on a new place, I will sometimes try and pick a landmark. So Sudbury's quite good because there's big chimneys there. So you can, the old industrial area. But from where you ride there, you can see the big chimney. So, you know, if you go out with it on your right, you want to come back with it on your left. Because if you go out with it on your right and then it's behind you, you've probably gone the wrong way. Or, right. You know. So pick a landmark. Most places you ride, if you look, will actually have a landmark. Sometimes if I don't want to look at trail forks, I just want to get on with riding, particularly when there's a lot of mosquitoes. I will pick a trail that's maybe a blue. I'll ride on it for as long as I can or it's climbing. And then I'll look for maybe a right and then I'll go for a bit further and I'll look for another right. And then you more or less will end up back where you started. Like, I'm not saying that that's 100% accurate, but I've often learnt an area by...
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And then, you know, once you know a set of trails, you can then start to then explore some of the other side trails. And even the most well-organized trail systems, you'll suddenly go somewhere and be like, oh, I didn't see that before. Or you suddenly find another trail that's probably an animal track and then someone else has ridden it and then someone else has ridden it and someone else has ridden it.
What? So I have a question.
Yes.
Because I've tried a couple of times, and maybe sometimes I've had a bit of success, but then equally I feel that I fail or struggle with it. And that is, when we have trail forks up, and we are out on a trail, and we've, say, stopped at a fork in the road, yeah. And you get the little spinny arrow, and I get very confused at, like, you know, pointing it in the direction that I want to go, and it spins around like a little merry-go-round and doesn't go in the direction I think it should go when I'm moving. It's very confusing.
Yeah, I think it's only confusing because you learn to navigate properly, traditionally, or understand how a map works. So the map is static.
Yes.
On the page of your telephone. And the little pointy spinny arrow, as you call it, is pointing you in the direction that you are...
facing? Or pointing your telephone?
Yeah.
Got you.
So if you're stood there with a trail on trail forks, on your map, on your telephone, in front of you, and the arrow is pointing behind you, you're going the wrong way.
Got it.
The only thing is, as I have found out to my own cost, sometimes the phone loses mobile phone signal and then the arrow gets confused and then it all...
thinks it might be where it was 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, or half an hour ago.
Right.
And then you'll look at it and you're like, how the hell did I end up all the way over there? So, and one thing I've done less so here, but one thing I've done often, especially riding on my own a lot, is taking screenshots of trail forks before I leave. So that if I do ever end up lost, I can figure out where I am based on the static map, like the old days, rather than trying to figure out with the phone and doing the wavy hand thing at the sky.
Spinning in circles and doing pirouettes.
Hoping for a mobile phone signal. Like those stupid TV programs, you know, when someone's trying to get hold of somebody.
Oh, yeah.
So I think practice at home. Like, trail forks works wherever you are. As in, there's not trails wherever you are, but the arrow thing works. So have a play around at home. Maybe we should do a workshop in the garden. Video it. I'm left of the spruce tree to the east of the peach tree. Left, east.
Anyway. I think that sounds excellent.
So, yeah. So, do you have anything else you want to ask me?
Oh, I wanted to ask you about those QR codes that I sometimes see. Not everywhere, but a few trail centers that we've been, for sure. I've seen those nifty little posts with a QR code on them. What's that all about?
So, some of them are payment. So, some of them will have a day ticket or membership. So, it could be for that. Some of them are trail, up-to-date trail maps for that area. And I was going to mention, I think Mansfield. There's a few in Ontario that are not on Trail Forks because they're classed as private. I think even Woodstock might be one of them. I'm not entirely sure, but some of the ones where you have to pay to ride, they're not on Trail Forks. And so sometimes those barcodes are to access their trail map so that you can figure out where you were. I think Mansfield was one of those. We went there once.
Yeah, there's a few places that I can picture in my mind, but don't ask me where it was.
Well, we've been to so many.
We certainly have.
So, yeah, and then I guess I just do a lot of internet research.
You do.
You
definitely... It's not nothing. It requires quite a lot of reading and digging and hunting. And I mean, you do the majority of it, but any little bit of hunting I've done is just by going on Trail Forks and then kind of clicking on a trail or, you know, looking at the color and then looking at the elevation or the duration or if there's any photos of the trail. But you do a whole lot more digging and research than that.
Yeah, I often look for comments. So, you know, maybe Instagram posts or comments on the website or comments on Trail Forks sometimes. But, I mean, I generally look everywhere, to be honest. But it's unusual that the conditions are up to date on Trail Forks. Certainly from October until like March or April. So you have to kind of dig. And one of the things that I found really frustrating, as you know, was the fat biking. Like trying to find out if something's groomed or not groomed or open or closed is so frustrating.
I know. I wasn't even going to bring that up
thought I'd mention it.
But no, it is worth mentioning. You're right.
So anyway, hopefully that's helpful. We could, as I said, run a workshop in the garden, or we might do a video workshop. I don't know, there's probably a million videos on how to use Trail Forks on YouTube, but if somebody specifically wants to ask a question, feel free to ask me. I'm happy to share that information. Just one other thing I was going to say is if you find yourself riding somewhere and you think, oh, I'm not sure if I should be here, or am I allowed? If there's more than one set of tire tracks on the ground, I generally have the opinion that it's assumed it's okay to ride. And I don't mean motorcycle, I mean mountain bike tracks. Like, generally, if there's more than one set of tire tracks, I'm of the opinion that it must be a mountain bike trail, which may annoy some people, but it's just the way it is. And I'm normally on my own, or there's only two of us anyway, so...
Yeah, and the same as always, you know, you slow down when there's humans not on bikes or on bikes, but just, you know, be courteous.
Unless they're walking up mountain bike trails and then you happen to be Jessica and then you tag them. Shh. Not once, but twice.
Shh. I was just learning. It was an accident. Well, it's definitely not always easy to get going and find your groove out there. You know, our first time at new locations is always a little learning curve and requires a bit of patience. And we certainly do not always get it right on the first try. I mean, even last weekend, for example, we did not get it right. We, in fact, had to abort and come up with a plan B, trying to access the good old Friendship Trail down in Port Colborne. Here was where we thought might be a great place to park and easy enough to sort of shimmy and scurry down to hop onto it. Did not prove to be easy.
No, and again, you know, just my own paranoia, but when I've led mountain bike rides, I will, at the very least, I've ridden the trail I'm taking people on a couple of times, if it's a proper, like, ride, guided ride. And if you're taking your in-laws to to the Friendship Trail, it's probably worth double-checking beforehand. I mean, as it was, we were just trying to, well, we assumed the information we'd read was true and correct. It wasn't really a mountain bike trail. It was actually a tarmac, you know, asphalt, proper bike trail. But even those things, you know, they suddenly end up in an industrial estate or, you know, in the middle of a town. And then the next thing you know, it isn't the joyful ride you thought it was going to be. You've got massive transports rumbling by and buses and God knows what, so I would say if you're going to take people, just go and do a bit of research first would be the smart thing to do.
Well, hopefully this helps. And if nothing else, lets you know that it's all right if you don't get it right or if it's a little tricky to get going sometimes.
That's true. So
it is normal.
Very normal. So also, if anybody's got any other locations that we don't know about or they want to share, please feel free to drop me an email or message me. I'd be interested to hear.
Good.
Particularly
one.
If they're secret or private. I won't tell everybody, honest. So I've been enjoying my soup with ginger in. Did you want to?
Oh, yeah, that was.
Give
a
little update.
I did say that I was going to give a little report back on my ginger, wild ginger adventures. And I think I did say that I did not find the leaves and stems that I made into a tea particularly delightful. However, with all of the roots, I cleaned them with a toothbrush to get all the mud off and then dehydrated them all into crispy little twigs. And at least half of it I ground into, just using my trusty little crummy cheap coffee grinder that I use for spices, I bashed it all up in there and made, I got almost a full, what would that be, 1 cup jar? I'd say I got about 3/4 of a cup of ginger powder. And that's going to last us for a while because this soup that Jamie was speaking about, I just added a little bit. It was kind of a curried lentil smorgasbord concoction. And it, you could really taste it.
Yeah, you could. I mean, the concoction that you made, the tea, I mean, the taste was the taste, but the smell was incredible. Like that ginger smell, it was an excellent smell. Like it, you know, you could almost have it as an air freshener. It didn't smell so awesome the next day, but when it was steaming, I mean, it was a great smell, actually.
Well, even when I was just cleaning them, like picking leaves off or scrubbing the stems, it was very pleasant and quite strong.
Yeah.
quite delightful. So I would say success on the dehydration of the root systems there. And the other half I just left in chunks because I thought if I just want to make a tea, I, with some of those twigs of dehydrated root, I'll just chuck a couple of those in and not worry about them being buzzed up. But I got a few little ideas that I might want to try with that powder.
But I think if you do this yourself, take it easy with it, eh? It's sort of...
Yeah, we already went through that, I think.
We did on the last episode. If you didn't listen, go back and listen to it. But just don't eat spoonfuls of it, that's all.
Yes, don't eat 4 pounds of it.
And then anything else you've been finding in your ravine wonders on your own?
I have. Spring has sprung and all the things are starting to pop up. So I've already collected some Japanese knotweed and I probably need to do another round or two of that. And I do like to sort of cook down and freeze some of that. In fact, just a few weeks ago, I had used up the last bit from last spring. So I will like to replenish that supply.
But there's a short window, right? Because it grows, suddenly goes from being nice and young and juicy to being long, woody and annoying. Right?
Invasive and going to take over the world, yes.
And you also told me to dispose of it, the waste, correctly, because it could suddenly take over the garden.
Yes, absolutely. Do not put any of those scraps in your compost bin or you will have a situation on your hands.
If you don't like your neighbors.
Oh, Jamie, you rascal. No, I've heard of people even boiling it for like 15 minutes, the scraps that is, before disposing. I mean, I just tied them up securely in a bag and they will...
They're in the bin.
We've already enjoyed a few nice things with the Japanese knotweed, including a delightful little snack cake, which
I've been having every day. So
I know, me too.
I know you paid a visit to your favorite tree.
I did, my favorite tree. In fact, I have 3 favorite trees in the ravine. However, this one has to be in first place because it produces the mother load of pheasant backs year after year. It is like the giving tree. It just keeps on cranking them out. And like this tree is like falling down, chunks like getting lower to the ground, cracking off, starting to disintegrate. And it just keeps pumping them out.
Well, circle of life, I guess. But, you know, you appreciate the tree, though, unlike the giving tree story. You do appreciate the tree, at least.
Well, I think the little boy did, too. But anyways, that's another story. I was just thinking, too, like, it's getting kind of so much older and drier and more brittle that... Because I get right up in there, eh? Like...
Sooner or later.
It's going to snap on me. Like, branches that I used to be able to kind of grab and hold myself with way up there? Uh-uh. I can no longer do.
Do you need a hard hat?
I might need knee pads, wrist guards, football helmet, all of the things.
One of those things? You know, the old... like the engineers use for the power cables. You know, the hydraulic cart on the back of the truck. What are you doing? Nothing.
I know, and I always try and be so discreet while I'm halfway up a tree and there's somebody walking by.
Walking down with your big ladder over your shoulder.
Yeah, as I just pretend to be hugging the tree. No, it's a sweet tea. And in fact, this year... All of a sudden, there are ramps growing under it. No other years have I seen ramps underneath of it until...
Must be in that stage of its decomposition, maybe.
Oh, don't say that.
And then you tried some pheasant backs raw, I heard.
Oh, dear.
So we were told they were great raw.
And they were spot on as described in terms of flavor raw, which was, I will quote, at first sort of cucumber-like and then followed by a wave of pepper, like pepperiness. And the old one too, bam bam, it was that, just that, it was delightful. It was really good.
And then?
Well, I do not know. I can't say for sure if this was the... I mean, I tried a few bites. It's not like I ate an entire mushroom, but I had maybe three or four little
nibbles. I mean, he did say eat it with salad. I wonder if maybe just eating it on its own was the issue.
I don't know. And again, I can't even be certain that this...
Was the cause,
but I couldn't figure out anything else that it could have possibly have been. But about an hour later, I had like crippling cramps for about 45 minutes, and nothing really happened. But oh my gosh, I had to like bend over to like grab my stomach. Like it hurt. It's like a knife in my stomach. Anyways, after just kind of wrestling with that for half an hour, 45 minutes, and like I said, nothing happened, and then I was fine. So.
Emergency over.
I suppose. Yeah. I was a little bit concerned for a minute there, though.
Just be careful out there.
Yes, and I might continue to stick by our general rule of cook all wild edible mushrooms.
You just never know, and it's just, you know. Well, maybe we'll experiment again and see what happens.
But... Well, I think, guess who's going to be the guinea pig next time?
Yeah, I've already had a numb lip in the past. Bring it on.
All right.
And we have a lovely jar of dandelions on our windowsill.
We do. We collected some dandelions. And I also threw those into the dehydrator while the ginger was rocking and rolling in there. And I mean, I haven't really played with them, so I'm kind of looking forward to it. And I think I smell something along the lines of a dandelion banana bread.
Oh, that sounds good. We got bananas and dandelions.
Maybe even a little chamomile tea in there.
Dandelions are pretty good if you report back and it all works, because kids can go and pick them in the garden and they're an easy one to find and identify without any risk of making a mistake. So,
yes, I saw lots of recipes for fritters, like dipping them in a batter and frying them, but it's not really my jam.
No. And that would be fresh, right? Fresh flowers straight away.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Yeah, I don't really know what moved me to dehydrate them, but I did.
Well, they're cheerful and in the garden and bright and yellow, so.
Very true. And then the next, or what is also out in full swing right now and looking good, is right back to where we started, Jamie. The nettles.
The old nettles.
Yep.
Well, we need to build up our collection.
We do.
So... I guess they're not something we want to cultivate in the backyard, but...
I don't think so. We already have some dead nettles back there that I learned, but no, I don't think. However, we are going to get into, I think, chucking some in either with the compost or making like a bit of a fertilizer out of kind of rotting it, from what I understand.
In a bucket with water.
And yeah, apparently it smells excellent.
Well,
not
sure we deal with other smell things that smell.
Yes. And that's what we have been working on quite a bit lately, is trying to get our backyard rocking and rolling and having cultivated edible things.
Yeah, and also, you know, trying to create a decent bike wash and place to work on bikes and place to a bit of a sanctuary as well, to kind of hang out and have fires and do other stuff. So
with the bees and the butterflies and...
Indeed.
I'd really like to get some hummingbirds back there if possible.
That should be okay, I think.
Yep.
We should be able to do that. So, yeah, and then just on to a few other little quick points. We have a September event on the website, so maybe check that out. And we've got limited places. So there's a bit of a ride and forage. We'll figure out the proper itinerary when we know who's coming. Try and tailor it for the right people. And I'm going to try and persuade Jessica to do a few, like if we do a fire and we cook stuff on the fire, to actually do some recipes around the fire, but actually record them as well. So I'm not promising that, but I'm going to try and get a bit better at that, just to get a bit more content into our website and get a bit more traffic going.
Is that on the foraging day or just in general? Just in general, the backyard?
When we feel like it, yeah.
Yeah, sure thing. Sure thing, boss.
So, yeah, we might try and record a few of the more interesting recipes, maybe.
Well, y'all can learn with me, because I've certainly done my fair share of cooking food and some pretty wacky things over a fire, but I'm by far no expert. I think that there's a real trick to cooking over fire, and generally I'm trying to put on about 10 different things at once, and it's hard to be moving things about and rotating and not burning and not, you know, totally smoking out. So anyways, it's something that I would like to get a little bit better at, and you can learn with me.
We bought some charcoal, for one thing, so that will be a bit different. But also,
I was kind of speaking about flame.
No, I get that. But also, really high-performing video for us was the sumac you did when you were still very injured.
Oh, right. That was hilarious. I think I did that one on all by myself,
too. You did, but it was short. But it still gets massive viewing on YouTube. Well, oh, massive, really? Like, you know, hundreds of views on YouTube, not five like the trail building stuff does. So,
well, who knows what we're up to, but we'll try and share it.
So we'll probably have a new location for next week. No promises, but I'll let you know.
It's been busy times with all the things, and like we said, trying to get the backyard rocking and rolling, which is... Time is of the essence.
It is. So, yeah, we'll keep going. And just one thing to say.
Get lost!